This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:19 Thursday, 4th of August, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, according to the Inland Revenue Board CEO, Datuk Muhammad Nizom Sairi, Malaysia has agreed in principle to implement a global minimum tax rate of 15% on multinational companies, as we are one of the 136 OECD countries undertaking this reform on the global taxation system, which will be implemented from 2023 onwards.
So he also said that in order to ensure MNCs pay taxes accordingly, the IRB will develop a comprehensive strategy to address global tax compliance risk, besides urging these companies to be more transparent. The IRB is also monitoring MNCs operating in Malaysia and local companies operating in foreign countries to identify whether or not there is transfer pricing. For some background, in October last year, the OECD had announced that these 136 countries did agree that certain MNCs will be subject to a minimum tax rate of 15%, and this 15% tax rate would reallocate profits of more than $125 billion from about 100 of the world's largest and most profitable MNCs to all countries.
So for some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Dr. Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysian University of Science and Technology. Good morning, Jeffrey. Now, how beneficial are the existing tax incentives in Malaysia for multinationals in terms of encouraging FDI into this country?
Hi, good morning. Well, when we think about FDI, taxation is only one of many factors that companies take into account, but it's an important factor, of course. Other factors would include, for example, the size of the market or the general ease of doing business. And taxation is one of the key features of the general ease in terms of general ease of doing business. And Malaysia is rather what you might expect. It's not as good as some countries, but it's better than other countries. But when it comes to foreign direct investment, Malaysia has seen a trend decline in FDI since about 2015. There was a little bit of an upturn in the most recent data. And this is not, generally speaking, to do just with tax. It's to do with very many other factors that are making other countries more attractive. And when we talk about the net FDI flows, that means money coming in and money going out. It also means that many Malaysian investors are looking overseas to invest. And that might well be driven by taxation benefits if they get better benefits, particularly regionally.
So you're basically saying that it's not the tax, it's not our taxation system that makes it attractive for them, for MNCs to come into Malaysia. We are losing FDIs anyway. Would this just make things even worse?
Well, tax is part of the mix. And having a flexible tax system and having a sovereignty over your tax system is one of the key ways that countries can change the investment environment, particularly if it's responsive to what foreign investors want. I think that's pretty quite important. Now, what we've seen with this global minimum tax regime is that you're removing a degree of flexibility by committing to an international arrangement in terms of tax. So let's say Malaysia wanted to use tax system in order to make investment here more attractive for foreign investors, then it's much more restrictive now under this new regime than it would be under other circumstances if Malaysia had complete sovereignty and complete flexibility. So the whole point about it is tax is an important part of the mix, and flexibility and sovereignty over your own tax system is a really very important part of being able to create a good, attractive package for foreign direct investments to come here.
Yeah, but Jeffrey, I want to go back a little bit to what you said, that you know the FDI in Malaysia has been on a declining trend, except for one blip since 2015. And that's partially due to the fact that there are other factors attracting MNCs to deploy capital to other places. What's so attractive, like in the rest of ASEAN? And I know Vietnam is one big beneficiary. What are they doing differently that we aren't doing?
I think it's part of it is the size of the domestic market. If you look at Indonesia, for example, it's nine times larger than Malaysia. Yeah, Vietnam is three times larger than Malaysia in terms of the domestic market. Now, in the past, that relative size hasn't been so important because although there are very many more people, the average income has been relatively lower in the past. But now, both those places and other parts of the region, but particularly if we look at Indonesia and Vietnam, for example, since you mentioned them, there's overall economic growth is much higher and much more consistently higher than in Malaysia. The average income is also rising. They're getting an increasingly larger middle class that has a bigger disposable income. And that means that they have more people with more money and their spending power is growing more quickly here than here in Malaysia. And this is part of a trend. Mm. And because of that trend, it makes more sense to go and locate directly in the market into which you're going to sell.
So then on the flip side, what can we then do to attract more multinationals to establish their operations and invest here? I mean, what are the factors to encourage FDI?
I think actually some of the things that are important are the general look and feel of the environment into which you're investing. Is Malaysia attractive as a place not just to invest, but to come to live and to work? And the truth is, it isn't actually, and it's deteriorated. I've been here 18 years, and all of my expatriate friends, I think, will largely agree that the look and the feel and whether Malaysia is a welcoming country to foreigners has deteriorated over that 18-year period. Also, there are other issues that are not necessarily related to business or economics, such as the level of trust that you can have in institutions. The level of trust you can have in the rule of law. If you come here, how are you going to guarantee your contracts and what's going to happen if something goes wrong with your investment? Are you going to be able to recover it? And I'm afraid, unfortunately, for Malaysia, that perception has deteriorated too, particularly in the last few years. So there's all this look and feel issue is very important, along with the basic business opportunities, the ease of doing business, the market size. All of those, of course, are very important. The taxation system, very important. But ultimately, if you're making a long-term investment, you want to feel confident and secure and welcome in the country that you're going to locate.
I hope whatever you said actually lights some fire under someone. But basically, I mean, what I got from what you said earlier is that it appears that Indonesia and Vietnam, they seem to be overtaking us much, much quicker than we can actually grow. But is there anything specific that Malaysia might need to change in order to, you know, end up playing with these with our neighbours?
I think it's wrong to try to say, look, you know, this is a silver bullet that will cure it. This will be the single, you know, the single specific thing that Malaysia can change. Because in my view, this is a trend, and it's not a specific issue. It's not saying, oh well, if we just cut the corporation tax, everybody will come here. Or, oh, if we just improved incentives and gave people more grants and more money, people would come here. It's not that. It is part of a longer term trend, and what that means is that Malaysia needs to respond to that using structural reform over a longer term. And that means being more liberal, being more open, having a more market-driven economy, being less regulatory in terms of the setting up and management of businesses, but also being more open and being more welcome. You know, if you have a country, let's just be frank about it, where you are having major companies owned by the government itself whose products are banned for issues related to human rights abuses. This is not good for the look and feel of the country. And if you are a foreign investor where European or American investors care about environmental, social and governance concerns, and you're coming to a country which is a tier three country in the trafficking in persons classification in the United States, you are going to be very worried about investing in a country like that because you will bring your big plant and then you will have suppliers in Malaysia and you will know whether or not they're going to be in breach of human rights concerns. And that's a very big issue and it's a part of a long-term trend.
Thank you very much. That was Professor Jeffrey Williams giving us his views in terms of what's important for Malaysia to attract FDI. Now, I think we've had this conversation again and again, and you know, there is actually some very worrying data out there, one of which is that ASEAN as a bloc is probably attracting the second most FDI into Asia after East Asia, North Asia, excuse me. But Malaysia as a percentage within the ASEAN bloc has actually sharply declined. So some data I want to give you. In before the Asian financial crisis, in terms of ASEAN FDI, we were 24% of that. Now we are only 8% of that. Really taken over by, surprise, surprise, Singapore, which has, in the recent times, they've gotten back what they call the manufacturing mojo, and followed by Vietnam, which has benefited from this China plus one, which a lot of MNCs now have in terms of their policy. So what can we realistically do? And perception is really important. The reality might be different because, yes, we still have the rule of law, we have a very functioning civil service, but it's all about perception. How do we improve our country's perception then?
Well, Dr. Williams was quite right also in pointing out that it's not just Vietnam and Singapore, even Indonesia, because, you know, they have a way larger population. But over the 10-odd years that I've been following this issue, the reality is FDI into Malaysia is dwindling, is slowing. And Dr. Williams does point out to the fact that there are some systemic changes, structural changes that need to be made. Yes, perception is everything, but at the same time, Malaysia needs to take steps to improve ourselves, because you just cannot sit on your laurels, because if you stay stationary, everybody will just surpass you.
Yeah, and what would be the long-term consequences if we actually see a decline in FDI? You would actually probably see employment and wages being very stagnated, which we already see. And, you know, how do we then address it? I think these are the questions the government must ask itself, right? But up next, we'll be speaking to William Pesek on Nancy Pelosi's visit to Asia. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.